reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th chapter, text number 42.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudhiraye. Nashtvai me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrat ratimudvahata dadha gange vaughamudanvati tvai me ananya vishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrat Ratimudvahata Dadha Gange Vaughamudanvati.
Shri Radha Kunj Bhakti. Fine grace. S. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Purport. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptom of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there and Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly, are not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here the affection of Kunti for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to her family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. Oh my God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. We are reading from the chapter Prayers by Queen Kunti. In the previous verse, Kunti Maharani prayed to Krishna to cut off her affection for the Pandus and the Vrishnis. Sneha Pasha Mimam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. So that verse is all about detachment. And here she is talking about attachment to Krishna. Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrat. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So in these two verses, Kunti is praying to help attain detachment from material relationships and develop a loving attachment to Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada says, without spiritual strength, one cannot approach Krishna. So this type of attachment to Krishna that is being spoken about cannot be very easily attained without the blessings of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Baladev or Balaram. So there are many things we accomplish in our spiritual life, but it is explained in the scriptures that there is bhakti and there is bhakti abhas. Bhakti means the devotional service, and bhakti abhas means that which looks like devotional service. So there are many contaminations in spiritual life which may look like devotional service, which is actually not devotional service. And the spiritual master's duty is to help the disciple understand what is bhakti abhas. And what are those contaminations? Those contaminations are compared to the dhenukasur or the burden carrying ass. And such contaminations actually take one on a wrong path. And one such contamination is also the detachment. Often detaching oneself from the material things of the world is considered to be very great or glorious. But such mere detachment from the things of the world is not so much appreciated in Vaishnava circle. Like, for example, the karmis are very attached to possessing more and more. And they work very hard, unnecessarily, to accumulate the things of the world. Without knowing where the life is leading to. Prabhupada gives a very simple example. He says, if you find a very beautiful railway coach, which is a first-class AC coach, standing on a platform, you just open the door and go inside, you find it's an AC coach, and it's very comfortable, you go and sit there. And hours have passed, and your friend comes and asks you, hey, what are you doing here? You say that it's a first-class coach, it's very comfortable. Only problem is the train doesn't move. It is there for several days. Would you prefer such a train, or you would prefer another train, which is like a, you know, ordinary electric, you know, unit train, which has no AC, which has no comfortable seat, but it is moving in the right direction, isn't it? So, increasing the material comforts by working very hard unnecessarily is like acquiring a first-class railway coach which doesn't move in the right direction. At the expense of spiritual life to accumulate material comforts. At the expense of spiritual life, ignoring the spiritual goal. They are the karmis, the materialistic people. They are utterly foolish. That's what most of the material world is all about. On the other hand, the jnanis, they understand that one should not waste one's valuable time in accumulating the things of the world. We should detach ourselves from them. What is the use of accumulating money, accumulating possessions, name and fame in this world? Everything is going to be taken away at the time of death. So let us become desireless. So they try to become desireless. But such detachment or artificial desirelessness without connection to Krishna will not last for a long time. They will again spring back to the engagement in the material world. So such detachment is also condemned, because that will not last for a very long time. That's what Prabhupada is talking about here in the beginning. So this karma and jnana, these two are considered contaminations, which are like bhakti abhas. Because sometimes such artificial detachment is so much eulogized and glorified in the public by the common people. As somebody is so detached, he doesn't touch money, he doesn't accept any comfort, he doesn't, you know, accept anything of the material world. But as Prabhupada explains here, such kind of detachment, it's only a matter of time, one will again fall back into the things of the world. Such jnanis who detach themselves again, they go to involve themselves in the contaminating activities of the material world, namely the social welfare activities without relation to Krishna. Establishing schools, establishing hospitals, establishing dharmashalas. And they are working for the bodily welfare of the living entities rather than the spiritual welfare. So, there is an endeavor by the spiritual master, there is an endeavor by the disciple. So, the mercy of the spiritual master is that he clearly categorizes what is bhakti, what is bhakti abhas, and shows. When the creeper of devotional service, when it is growing, it's very, very tender. The tender creeper can be compared to a small baby girl who is nurtured and nourished by the mother and saved from all types of calamities and dangers. Like sometimes there is too much cold or too much heat. Sometimes there are dangerous creatures. So the mother protects the small, tender girl from all those dangers. So spiritual master also nurtures and protects the devotional creeper very nicely by enlightening the disciple about those which are actually bhakti and those which look like bhakti. So in the process of endeavoring in our path of bhakti, sometimes we may be holding on to those things which are actually not bhakti. That is why it is the warning is given in the scriptures. There is always a tendency for us to get hooked on to jnana or karma or yoga, devoid of bhakti. And the bhakti assumes a backseat. For example, even when you chant the holy name in the morning, you are just waiting to go and do something. So chanting assumes the back seat, but doing activity assumes the front seat. I have to run here, I have to do this, I have to do that. So we are activity oriented, and the samadhi doesn't take place in the chanting of the holy name, because we are activity oriented. Similarly, jnani is knowledge oriented. He simply delights in the intellectual understanding of the subject, of the matter and the spirit, and the relationship between the two and all these things. But that doesn't evoke bhakti in his heart. Such kind of understanding of all the subject despite elaborate shastric study. Similarly, a yogi delights in detachment from matter by performing severe austerities. Any severe austerity performed not in relation to Krishna is considered to be in mode of ignorance. So, these three paths can serve as diversions to a practicing sadhaka. If one is not centering one's spiritual life based on the attachment to Krishna, they can serve as deviations or distractions. And that may take one away from Krishna. That is why in the previous verse, Kunti Maharani is talking about detached from material relatives. Undoubtedly, such detachment is also essential, and that will eventually happen when one develops attachment to Krishna, and that is possible. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is explained about the tree of the material world. There is a huge banyan tree with its deep roots, which is upside down. So there are five types of attachments explained. What are the five types of attachment that reinforce and nourish the tree, which is made up of these three modes of material nature? And this banyan tree is so deep-rooted, it is very difficult to uproot it. First one is the attachment to one's own body, one's own material body, which arises from the ignorance of the spiritual fact that I am the soul. One is not aware of that knowledge. So one is attached to the material body. One considers one's body to be oneself. One is concerned about the color of the pigment of the body. One is concerned about the beauty of the body. One is always thinking about the skills, talents and abilities possessed in the body, material body. And one identifies all these things with oneself. That is the first attachment. Then, second attachment is attachment to the kith and kin, the relatives and family members. That arises from seeing them in relation to one's material body. When one sees that this child has come out of my body, so then one considers the child to be one's own. Then a very firm attachment comes. Or when one is married to someone, then husband, wife, relationship. Or one is born to someone, then mother, father, that attachment comes. Because one considers that relationship with respect to the bodily connection to that person. Like that. Like you see, there are millions of children running here and there. Like you ask a mother, mother can tell you. She goes to a school to fetch her child in the afternoon or evening. There are so many children running here and there, but her eyes are focused on looking for that one child, who is her own child. And then that particular child comes running on. Immediately, there's a surge of great vatsalya, you know, that comes from the heart, and she runs to the child, picks up the child. You can see that. Why there are hundreds of children, you don't feel that attachment? Why only you feel attachment for that one child? There are hundreds of women, one doesn't feel attachment. One feels attachment to one person who is the wife. There are hundreds of parents, we don't feel attachment, but to that one mother and the one father. One small ray on their face, you know, changes into sadness or joy. That makes such a difference in our consciousness, isn't it? We can see that. Such attachment we feel, firm attachment. That is owing to the attachment that comes from bodily connection, due to bodily relationship. That is second. And third one, attachment to land, property, business papers and furniture and all those things. All the possessions and properties. That also again comes from connection to one's own body. One thinks that this belongs to me. Actually, it doesn't belong to us. We never had it when we were born. So, as soon as we are born, we assume that I am the heir in this family. So, everything will belong to me. So, a very strong, deep-rooted attachment for that. Then the fourth attachment is to the knowledge of material science that one has acquired, which is a never-ending pursuit in the realm of darkness, in want of spiritual light. So, the material science is such a knowledge when one keeps pursuing more and more and more, and one develops more and more attachment to it. But in want of spiritual light, this becomes a never-ending pursuit. And fifth one, is the attachment to pompous rituals, devoid of God consciousness, devoid of a proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and developing a loving devotion to Him. Not knowing that, but developing a great attraction and attachment for pompous empty rituals. So these five are considered material attachments, strong material attachments. And in the 15th chapter it is said, these are like the five chains that bind us to the material world. It binds the soul to completely be caught up in the matter, these five things. So what should one do? It is explained, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. One should hear from the spiritual master, and taking the sharp sword of detachment, one should cut off the roots of this tree, banyan tree. Although it is said one cannot actually know where this tree begins and where does it end, it appears like an ever-expanding tree everywhere, and it goes on for millions of lifetimes. Birth after birth, we have been growing this tree and nourishing the roots of this tree, the three modes, and we have been suffering in this world. One has to have faith, a firm faith in the spiritual master. And having obtained the weapon from him, by one's endeavor one has to cut. That's where one's personal endeavor comes. What is that endeavor? That endeavor is to learn the knowledge from the Guru and to understand the right means to achieve the spiritual world, achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. One has to discriminate. That discrimination we only have to do after hearing the knowledge. And one has to take the weapon of detachment, the sword of detachment, asanga shastra, it is said. And that's where the detachment comes. Asanga shastrena dhideena chitva. One has to sever this these five attachments. Then, what should one do after cutting off these attachments? Then it is said, one should seek refuge in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Having attained whose feet, one will never again return to this material world. One will permanently get a safe shelter. So, detachment is certainly essential. But it has to be understood how to perform this detachment and what is this detachment. One disciple was telling Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, this detachment is very difficult for me. I don't think it is possible. And Prabhupada said, what is it? What is so difficult about it? Prabhupada said, detachment means to know all along what I have been thinking to be mine is not mine. It is Krishna's. And to hand over the things to Krishna. That is detachment. What is so great about it? Prabhupada was asking, what is the difficulty? And Prabhupada was saying, just see, Krishna, he has created the material world, he has created all the facilities, and Krishna delights in taking care of his devotees exactly as a father or a mother delights in taking care of their children. Like you have seen how mother and father sometimes like purchasing nice clothes for the child, purchasing nice food items for the child, purchasing nice play toys for the child. Similarly, Krishna also derives great delight in creating the material world, giving all the necessary facilities for all the living creatures, because he says he is their father and he takes care of them. And if somebody tries to make separate arrangements on their own, independent of what Lord has created for them, then the Lord feels very bad that this person doesn't have trust that I will take care of him. Isn't it? And that's what all the living entities try to do. They try to make an independent plan, thinking that something else will give them enjoyment. other than what Lord has ordained for them. Lord has given everyone their quota to accept and to focus their life on returning back to spiritual world. But the living entities, not understanding what Lord has made arrangement for them, not understanding that, they work so hard, like the karmis, labor very hard to accumulate more and more, foolishly, forgetting the ultimate goal of life. So, detachment is very simple in that sense, that one has to simply realize that nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna. And whatever I am taking from material nature and using, that also belongs to Krishna. To understand that. So this is a preliminary step in detachment about the things and possessions. But here, the kind of detachment that Kunti is talking is even of a higher degree. Because the attachment that we have for the things of the world is not as difficult to give up as the attachment we have for the other living entities. Especially, she is talking of the relatives, the Pandus and Vrishnis. The attachment that one has for the relatives is extremely deep-rooted. And this attachment is very difficult to give up. That is the main subject matter being spoken here in these two verses. The attachment to the relatives and friends is very difficult to give up. You see, the purpose of the Lord creating the material world is to actually give an opportunity for the living entity to undergo purification or reformation. How? For that, Krishna will do many things with the living being. Sometimes he may take away all the wealth. Sometimes he may give abundant wealth. Or sometimes Krishna will show the ghor or the dangerous nature of the material world by making a devotee go through dangerous situations and difficult situations to be endured. Krishna can do that with the devotee. Or sometimes Krishna may test a devotee by putting a devotee into test. Or sometimes Krishna may punish a devotee by offering some token punishment to purify the devotee. But whatever Krishna does, a devotee is always safe in Krishna's hands in all these circumstances. That a devotee should know. But Krishna will surely reciprocate with a sincere devotee in some way in order to purify that devotee of the attachments that the devotee has. Just like when I was a small boy, once I had a boil, you know, it was exactly in this joint, you know, in this place. So whenever you move the hand, it would be very, very painful. You have to keep the hand like this always. So once my parents were calling me, come, let's go to doctor. I was fearful, probably they are taking me for this only. It was getting bigger and bigger. So I asked, what's the problem? They said, your throat is not proper, you know. It seems you are having sore throat, you know, you are not able to digest food properly. So we'll take you to doctor. So they took me to doctor. So I told the doctor, can I open my mouth and show you? He said, okay, you can show, first you come nearby, call. And as soon as he caught my hand, you know, I immediately started, you know, moving my hand behind and said, no, no, doctor, you know, I will, you know, I came for the throat problem, you ask my parents, you know, I didn't come for this. And he told me, no, your parents have told me, and I know what's the problem. He caught my hand and, you know, he started, you know, pinching the same place which I didn't want him to touch. You know, trying to check how much was the pus, and the pus was quite too much accumulated. It was so painful. And I was screaming and yelling and trying to run away from him. And doctor said, it has to be cut off. You have to remove this pus, otherwise it's very dangerous, it will spread. Of course, with all my screaming and everything, they removed the pus. Sometimes the Lord also will check our attachments in this world and see to it that we are purified of that attachment. And there are innumerable examples in the scriptures. Scriptures are full of it. You see the boy, small boy Narada, he was in one sense like an orphan. Only one mother, widowed mother. He has no father. He is living at home. And for such a child, what can be a greater attachment than the mother? Mother is his god. Mother is be all and end all for that Narada boy. There's no one in the world to take shelter. And right from childhood, she has raised him. Naturally, he would have become very, very affectionate to her. And must have sought complete shelter in her. So when the Lord arranged for the Bhaktivedanta devotees to inspire Narada boy to become attracted to devotional service. Lord only arranged that. And Narada got their association. And now he wanted to practice Krishna consciousness. But there was an obstacle. What was it? His mother's attachment. Sometimes the attachment to mother and father may be almost equal to the attachment we have for devotees. Or sometimes much greater. That one is not able to sever that tie of affection for the parents. There are many people who trade their Krishna consciousness for the attachment to the parents. And it happens. Sometimes the parents take the children away from Krishna's devotees. They snatch the children away from Krishna's devotees by weeping and crying and yelling. And they take the children away. And there are many sons and daughters who have given up their Krishna consciousness because of not being able to resist the opposition coming from the parents. Yeah, because they have strong attachment for the parents. So at any point of time, one may be challenged by Krishna. You want me or you want them? You have to make a choice. Like Krishna asked Duryodhana and Arjuna, you want me or you want Narayana Sena? And the foolish Duryodhana chose Narayana Sena, isn't it? Yeah. And Arjuna chose Krishna. Similarly, Krishna told Karna also, you want me or you want your devilish friend, Duryodhana. And Karna chose Duryodhana. And people make wrong choices in their lives. Karna made a wrong choice. Duryodhana made a wrong choice. So, when we are faced with such a challenge, most often we find that attachments to the material connections, relations, they take over. In most cases, you can find. So, you see Kumbhakarna, for example, he was attached to his brother Ravana. He knew very well that he will be losing the war. But his attachment to his brother took over. Yeah. That is also skin disease. It's a skin attachment. Bodily attachment. Fighting for one's brother or one's family members. Knowing well that they are on the path of adharma. That's why Prabhupada quotes the example of Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Although he was very attached to his relatives and friends, when Krishna enlightened him about the knowledge of the soul and its relationship with God, Arjuna was ready to forego all the material connections. Despite the pain he felt in killing his relatives, he was ready to kill them, knowing well that they were all on the side of adharma. They were against the purpose of the Lord. He was ready to sever that tie of affection. And he did it successfully. That is the glory of Arjuna. Even today he is glorified. Prahlad Maharaj could sever the tie of affection for his father. And you can see how when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimhadeva, Prahlad felt happy. Because he was not having any bodily attachment at all. He was having only spiritual attachment for his father. Prahlada's spiritual attachment to Hiranyakashipu is shown when he prays to the Lord for the deliverance of his father. He knows. He is praying for his father, not for his material well-being, but for his spiritual well-being, you can see. Similarly, when Narada boy was thinking, how will I practice spiritual life? And his attachment to his mother was very strong. But one day he lost his mother. His mother was bitten by a serpent and she left the body. And the small boy Narada, such a tender child, how much he must have cried and how much he must have become broken hearted. Some people even lose faith in God if such things happen in their life. But on the other hand, Prahlad took it very positively. Narada took it very positively. Narada thought, she was the only person I always used to bank upon for everything. Now Krishna has taken her away also. Now where am I to go? My only shelter is Krishna now. So he completely took refuge in Krishna. So, sometimes the Lord takes away the object of our attachment in order to make us take a complete shelter in his lotus feet. Like that. And also, how the Lord arranges situations. You see, for example, Chitraketu, he was never supposed to have a son according to his prarabdha karma. He was never supposed to have a son. But he was adamant on having a son. He would have done away without a son and become a Krishna conscious devotee. And he must have easily gone back to Godhead. But he was bent upon having a child. So Angira Muni arranged for a sacrifice for a son to be born for him. And the son was born, but the very same son gave him the equal amount of suffering what he would have had without having a son. Isn't it? The quantum of suffering is the same. Either you have it by having a son or by not having a son. How? The son was born and then very soon the small child, he was poisoned by the other queens and he died. And then Chitraketu became so broken hearted. The child was dead. So that portion of Chitraketu's pastime was most enlightening in my personal life when I first heard it. When I first heard this particular pastime of Chitraketu and the queens enlightened by the small boy. So the small boy was lying dead on the bed, but then by Narada Muni, what is that? They are sleeping out. Narada Muni, sorry, Narada Muni and Angira Muni, both of them came and they delivered, and they woke up the boy. They woke up the boy who was actually dead. They called the soul back into the body. And the boy woke up and he asked such questions that caused a detachment in the heart of Chitraketu. The boy was asking, my dear Narada, you said that my mother and father called me. Which mother are you talking? Which father are you talking? I heard millions of mothers and millions of fathers in every species, whether I was a dog or I was a cat, I was a fish, I was a bird. In everybody I had a mother and father. Which mother and father are you talking about? I have had millions of mothers and millions of fathers. So you are saying that my mother and father called me back. He said, just as the gold and other commodities, they go from one pocket to another. They don't stay in one place. Money also goes from one pocket to another. Similarly, the soul goes from one body to another. In this life, he is having one mother and one father. And then when he leaves the body, the soul goes to another home, and where he has a new mother and new father. And the soul keeps changing the bodies like this. Just like in a hotel or a restaurant, you know, some people come together. While sitting on the table, they develop some friendship. And they talk to one another. And then after eating their food, they all wash their hands and go to different places. There is no more connection. They lose the connection. Same way the soul loses all his connection with the so-called mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, dada, dadi, nana, nani, all these people. The attachment is simply based on bodily connection. The soul doesn't have such permanent connection with anybody in this world. In fact, the attraction we feel for mother, father, actually comes from the attraction we originally have for Radha and Krishna, who are our original mother and father. That original mother and father attraction, yet small tiny fraction of which we see in our temporary mother and father, life after life. In this world, whatever attractions we feel towards anything, originally exists in Krishna. The sweetness of the cuckoo's voice is so charming, isn't it? But Krishna's voice must be far sweeter than this. Otherwise, the cuckoo cannot have this sound, this kind of sweetness. Similarly, the beauty of the dancing peacock, Krishna must be far more beautiful. Otherwise, the peacock cannot dance with such beauty. So you can think of everything in this world. Anything wonderful you see in this world, Krishna says, Yadyad vibhuti matsatvam, Shrimad urjita me baba, tattat evava gachatvam, mamateja amsha sambhavam, he says. Everything is a small amsha of my beauty, strength, knowledge, fame and everything, Krishna is saying. So, when we understand the soul to be aloof and different from the gross and subtle coverings, and the soul is changing its position, life after life after life, and the life is like a small flash in the time span of eternity, then one can begin practicing detachment at that point of time. So Chitraketu became detached, and Narada gave him Diksha and made him a great devotee of Krishna subsequently. He became a very great devotee later. So Chitraketu got a son who caused him the detachment. Same way with Angaraja also. He got a son, Vena, who caused him detachment. as it is said, Rinakarta, Pita Shatru, and Mata Shatru, Mata Shatru, Vyabhicharini, yeah, Vyabhichar. Then it is said, Rupavati Bharya Shatru, and finally, Putra Shatru Apandita. All the four are said, if the Putra, if a son is not learned, is not a devotee, but is a sinful wretch, then such a person is considered an enemy to the father from a normal Vedic standard. In a Vedic standard, a son is supposed to actually be a successor of the father. Whatever good things father has been giving, the son is supposed to be a follower. So in the case of Vena, if you see, who was born of Anga, was he an ideal son? No. He is supposed to be an enemy to the father. Because he is acting against the purpose of the father. But he did not consider him an enemy at all. Anga tried to educate him, tried to make him proper. But then it didn't seem that this fellow is going to ever change. So Angaraja took it positively again. Like Narada boy took it positively. What did he do? He thought that, he actually called the Brahmanas and asked them, what sin have I done that my son has become like this? You see, here is a very good instruction for the leaders and counselors. If somebody is a leader or a counselor, if he finds that one of my followers is having some problem, then we can also take a look at ourselves. What is wrong in my system that has led to this person having a wrong in his system? Because he is trying to follow me and I am guiding him. That if he is having some deficiency, probably, although I can blame him for many wrong things that he has been doing, a part of that blame also includes my lack of time and energy in putting in training that person to become a proper person. So that's what Anga saw. Instead of blaming his son or blaming the world and circumstances, he blamed himself. He went and asked Brahmanas, oh Brahmanas, tell me what is wrong in my system that my son is born like this. So then the Brahmanas took the Jyotish, the horoscope of Angaraja and said, oh my dear king, let us tell you, you are the most virtuous, you are the most pious, you have not done any sin in this life. You are completely pure and we can't find any connection of your son to you for any of the wrongdoings that he is doing. But in your previous life, you had committed some sin for which your son is born like this. So now we can't do anything about it. We can't repair him. We can't make him proper. Then Angaraja, understanding the situation, what did he do? He ran away to the forest. One day he was missing. And all the citizens were crying, where is our great king? He was a very well-known, famous king. Everyone loved him. All citizens loved him. He knew that if he asked for permission from the citizens, nobody will allow him. He disappeared from the citizens and he went to forest and announced the whole world. And he took firm shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That way, and he attained the supreme abode of the Lord. So in this way, he detached himself when he was put in such a situation. So he used it very positively. So we can see in the case of Kunti Maharani, Pandus are not ordinary. Vrishnis and Pandavas, they are all great devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada is mentioning this point very interestingly, that serving a devotee is greater than serving the Lord himself. Then attachment to a devotee, Sayeva Sadhushu Krito, Mokshadvaram Apavritam. We say developing attachment for a devotee will actually take us back to Godhead. One may say like that, isn't it? Then what's wrong? But there is something wrong here, Prabhupada explains. For example, if a husband and wife, if a wife is beautiful, it is said, Rupavati Bharya Shatru. It is said. If a husband says, my wife is such a great devotee, I am very attached to her. But it is very dangerous. Why? Because it is his wife. Isn't it? That is why. But what is wrong for a husband to be attached to his wife if she is a devotee? You see, the Vedic life first says that one should, a man who is a irresponsible fool, who doesn't care for his wife, children, he's a drunkard, he squanders all the wealth. He is taught that you should develop attachment to children and wife. It's very important. That is why such attachment is considered very important between husband and wife, and the whole society comes together to get them married properly, settle them. If a man and woman are attached to one another, leading a very nice life, it is appreciated in the Vedas. That's important. So a man is attached to one woman and he doesn't go to any other woman. So that is appreciated. But one who is already leading a life very nicely, if a man and woman are simply attached to one another and living a very life of pious entertainment, doing some puja, doing celebrating some festivals at home and peacefully enjoying life without taking steps to return back to spiritual world, return back to Krishna, they are not taking Krishna consciousness seriously, then such attachment is condemned. That is why it is a Rupavati Bharya Shatru. So Prabhupada was married to a woman who wasn't very beautiful, but she was very faithful and chaste and loyal to him. And in the early days, Prabhupada wasn't very happy. Prabhupada explains this in one of his lectures. He says he was thinking, maybe I should marry another woman who is more beautiful. And then Prabhupada was thinking, maybe let me ask my father. Because in Vedic life also, I find sometimes a man is married to more than one woman. Because sometimes the woman population is more, and many men, they take brahmachari and sannyas and they go for spiritual life, and very few men are ready to marry. So men are less and women are more. So in Vedic life, more women are allowed to be married by one man. More kings, like King Dasharatha was having 3 queens. You find that like that. So when Prabhupada was contemplating this, his father called him and told him, it's a great fortune indeed that you are not attached to your first wife. It's very nice. And don't think of marrying any other beautiful woman, because if you marry a beautiful woman, you'll become attached to the wife. And later on, when you want to take sannyas, you will not be able to take. So better that, be with the same wife. It is Krishna's mercy that he has given you a wife like that, he told. And Prabhupada recollects this and says, this is my good fortune. What my father said is very true. And that helped me to detach myself at the right time and take sannyas. Otherwise, if one becomes attached, then one will, till the fag end of life, till the last breath, one will be attached to one's wife only. So such material attachment is condemned. Like Dhritarashtra's attachment to his son, Duryodhana. So, or the parents' attachment to the children, or husband-wife attachment. The Shastras say, the husband should be affectionate, but not attached. The mother and father should be affectionate to the children, but not attached. When the parents become attached to the children, they become slaves of the children. Similarly, when husband and wife, they become attached to one another, they become slaves of each other's desire for sense gratification. When they become attached. But at the same time, they should be affectionate. So that's what Prabhupada also explains here. Affection is a principle that is there in every living being. The living symptom means there must be affection, love, concern, care, all these things will be there. One cannot become like a stone. It's not possible. Because the living symptom, as soon as there is a living symptom, there will be affection, care. Even a tiger is loving the cub. You can see that. Then how will a human being not have any affection? So there is no possibility of becoming desireless, as the jnanis are propounding their own theory. Nobody can become desireless. One has to be affectionate. The question is, where does one want to repose that affection? So in Vrindavan Dham, Prabhupada says, even the trees, the plants, the birds, the animals, and even the water, Yamuna, they all are attached to Krishna and they all want to love Krishna and serve Krishna. Even the so-called inanimate matter in Vrindavan Dham is so conscious of Krishna, cognizant of Krishna. Whereas in the material world, even the human beings who are supposed to be alive, who are conscious, they are practically dead. So those who are not Krishna conscious, for them the Shastras say, their breathing is like the bellows breathing, bellows of a blacksmith. You've seen bellows of a blacksmith, which he uses for, heating the metal. You know, they make that sound, So our heart is also breathing like that. If one's heart is not Krishna conscious, then the heart's breathing is compared to the bellows of a blacksmith. And one is saying that I am living. How can you say my heart is like bellows? Tarava kimna jivanti. Even the trees are living. What is so great about your life? Shastras are asking. Bastra kimna shashanti yuta. Nakadanti namedanti kim grame pashu apare. So, one is considered to be living only when one is Krishna conscious. Otherwise not. So, attachment to Krishna is very natural. But what has happened? We have covered our soul with varieties of attachments of the material world. We have become attached to so many material things. So, material or spiritual, how do we see that? That depends on what we allow our consciousness to consume. If our consciousness is consumed by material things of the world, then we are living in the material world. If our consciousness is absorbed in remembrance of Krishna, then we are in the spiritual world. As simple as that. Prabhupada says, this is a standard. It's a question of consciousness. If we keep our mind absorbed in engagement of Krishna activities, Krishna-related activities, Prabhupada is saying our temples are in Vaikuntha. Why? Because here, 24 hours, the word asakrit she is using, isn't it? Matir madhupati asakrit. Sakrit means once. Asakrit means continuously. If one continuously engages in Krishna remembrance, Krishna activities, Krishna related speech, Krishna thought, Krishna speech, Krishna action. One is doing that, then it is asakrit, continuous. Then such a person actually lives in spiritual world, not in the material world at all. Prabhupada gives a simple example. Like, you know, a guru is sitting on a Vyasasana and he is, delivering a sermon for his disciples. And a mosquito is also sitting on the Vyasasana. The place of sitting is the same. But what is the main difference? The consciousness difference. A mosquito doesn't even know what is Vyasasana. He doesn't know where is he sitting. He is not Krishna conscious. Whereas a guru who is sitting and asana, he is Krishna conscious. He is aware. Who is Krishna and what is spiritual world, what is material world, what is conditionings, how to get delivered, how to remember Krishna, all these things he knows. So the awareness of the consciousness is different. So it's a question of consciousness. A mosquito's consciousness and a guru's consciousness, Prabhupada says. In the same manner, we may be situated in the material world, but yet it is possible for us to situate ourselves in the spiritual world by completely absorbing our consciousness in Krishna. But our problem is we allow our consciousness to be consumed by so many material agents and material attachment. Here, Kunti is talking about the Pandus and the Vrishnis, because although Pandus and Vrishnis are devotees of Krishna, in her attachment towards those Pandus and Vrishnis, she is seeing two components, material component and spiritual component. The spiritual component tells her that these are Krishna's devotees, so I love them very much. And there is a material component, that these are my children, and these are my relatives, so I like them. So she wants to nullify that material component. So Prabhupada says, as long as we are not sufficiently advanced, we have to discriminate between matter and spirit always. In the name of Yukta Vairagya principle, one should not imagine that everything is spiritual and can be engaged in Krishna service. Yes, it is true. Everything can be engaged in Krishna service. But am I qualified to do that? One has to ask that question oneself. Like, you know, anything and everything people give us, can we engage in Krishna service? Is a question mark. Like sometimes we may accept something from somebody saying that I will use in Krishna service, and we may use it for our own sense gratification. There is a likelihood. One can do that. One can use it for one's own enjoyment. Like for example, a devotee can also get the tendency to overly accumulate things. Like for example, I have a watch. If somebody gives me a watch, what I should say? Sorry, I have a watch already. But somebody may think, oh, he's giving a better watch. Let me have that also. So one day I will use this, one day I will use another watch. Like some people, you know, they have match for everything. They have one particular color umbrella and the same color bindi and same color dress also, same color watch also, you know. So accumulating too much, you have the tendency. One may do like that. So One has to discriminate between matter and spirit. We have to know, do I have the adhikar to take things and use in Krishna's service? Somebody says, I want to build a house for 25 lakhs. Why? So that you see later on Krishna's devotees can come and conduct programs, you know. In this way, you know, we can propagate more and more Krishna consciousness. That is mostly a justification. Like one devotee was trying to get a house very close to temple. But he had to buy a home for 25 lakhs. And he said that I will go work hard and earn a lot of money and come back and buy this house. So he bought the house by taking a loan. But now in order to repay the loan, he went out to work. And God knows where he is now. You know? You understand? We can get lost in the whirlpool of material world. It's a very dangerous material world. So, a devotee has to discriminate. Am I trying to engage in Krishna service or am I trying to use things for my enjoyment? So Kunti is also thinking, am I liking the Pandavas because they are Krishna's devotees or am I liking them because they are my children? She is thinking like that. Why? Because if I develop attachment to them as my children, I will be forced to be born again. See, Puranjana was attached to a woman. In the next life, Puranjana became a woman in the next life because of such attachment. So if we develop attachment to anything in this material world, we will have to be born again. Prabhupada says, even if you have attachment to eating one gulab jamun, the next life you have to be born again to come and eat gulab jamun. You'll be born again in the material world. You may ask, then why did Prabhupada give gulab jamun to all his disciples in the early days? That is only to attract them. First to develop attraction for gulab jamun, and they were eating like anything. In fact, many disciples, they were at one point of time finding the temple life too much. They would think, you know, what is this chanting every day, waking up in the morning, this is too much. They decided to bloop, you know. And so on Saturday they will think, now let us bloop. Bloop means to leave Krishna consciousness and go away. So they would go up to the gate and there they will find the jar of gulab jamun. And they will go and take one and put in the mouth. Oh, this is too good to give up. Okay, one more day I will stay. And that would be Sunday. And Sunday they would eat a big feast and they would think, oh, this is so good, I can't give up. Then they would stay back. And one more week they would stay. So Prabhupada attracted them to stay like this through the Sunday love feast. So the love feast was more for the devotees than the visitors in the early days. So, and then later on, after some years, Prabhupada saw devotees were overeating. And one day he chastised the devotees and told them, you cannot eat like this. You have to serve other people who are coming. Why are you eating like this? And they said, Prabhupada, you only told us to eat gulab jamun, so what's wrong? And Prabhupada said, I told you to eat gulab jamun, now I am telling you to give up. Now enough of it. Now you develop, give up the attachment to gulab jamun, develop attachment to Krishna. So that was the purpose. Prabhupada wanted to give them a higher taste through prasad and gradually to develop higher taste for Krishna. So we have to come to a point where we can develop such a loving attachment for Krishna that Krishna will dominate our mind. He will dominate our heart. Not our material relationships with our attachments. So we all can look into our heart and think, who are the people to whom I am attached? So we have a lot of attachment. Even after you become brahmachari or a sannyasi, one's attachment for mother, father, relatives, friends doesn't go away. We may externally detach ourselves and we may live a life of renunciation, but still there is an invisible internal attachment in the heart. What to speak of those who are day in and day out living with husband, wife, children, mother, father? They are actually reinforcing the attachments more and more. So one has to actually make a plan to develop attachment for Krishna. And how will it happen? That is also explained in the scriptures that one can develop attachment to Krishna only by Krishna's mercy and not by any other way. And one will attain Krishna's mercy by rendering service to Krishna. So everything begins with seva. So when we do Krishna seva, when we do Krishna bhajan, when we do Krishna kirtan, when we take Krishna naam, when we do all these things, gradually Krishna takes note that this devotee actually wants to return back to spiritual world. He wants to serve me. He wants to develop attachment for me. So by that service, then the mercy comes in our life. And the mercy may take any form or any shape. It can come in the form of a higher taste. It can come in the way as it came in the lives of so many people. Krishna took away some wealth of someone. Yasya aham anagrihnami harishe taddhanam shanai. Or Krishna took away the relatives of some people like Narada boy Krishna shows the harsh reality of the material world. Krishna will do something in our life by which He will impel us to rush to His lotus feet and take His shelter. And we will have nowhere else to go except Krishna's lotus feet. You see, when we have this Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra, Karma Mishra, Bhakti, there is some kind of cushioning effect, some kind of soothing effect we get. That comes from the contamination of Jnana, Karma and Yoga, which keeps us coasting along in the path of Bhakti. Coasting along means we may be doing something that looks like bhakti, which is actually not bhakti. So, bhakti means a complete taking complete refuge in Krishna's fleet. Like we sing, what is that song?
Ekana bujinu prabhu tomara charana ashoka bhayamrita Purna Sarvakana.
And then?
Sakala Chadiya Tuva Charana Kamale Podiyachi Aminata Tava Padatale.
See, he's singing. So, he's singing in this wonderful song. Sakala Chadiya Tuva. Sakala Chadiya means I have left everything, my dear Lord. It not leaving everything is not only physically, it also includes the attachment to them that we have in our heart. So, like you know, a beautiful wife is not condemned, but attachment to a beautiful wife is condemned. Similarly, the things are not condemned that we use in Krishna consciousness, but attachment to those things, that is condemned. Sakala Chadiya Tuva Charana Kamale. I am coming and taking shelter in your lotus feet, Krishna. Padiya chaminata tava padatale. So in this way, he is taking shelter. And sign of a great devotee is that his attachment to Krishna is far superior to the material attachment. And that will be proven when one is put to test. With one practical example, I would like to conclude. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, who comes as his own devotee to establish what is pure devotional service, which is free from the mix of jnana, karma, yoga and all that. So he has taken different examples of different devotees, like Ramananda Rai or Bhattacharya or different devotees, through whom he teaches how to perform pure devotion. When Lord Chaitanya hadn't taken sannyas, before his sannyas, he was like this only, as we see the Lord every day, as Lord Nimai and Nitai, Nimai Pandit. He used to have very beautiful curly locks of hair, he used to have a beautiful turban, and he used to dress very beautifully. And he was the Lord of the hearts of everyone in Nadia. At one time, the Lord called all the other Vaishnavas and told them, why are we wasting our time in the night by sleeping? Let us not sleep. Let us simply perform Krishna Kirtan all day and all night. So, in Shiva Sangan, they used to perform the nocturnal kirtans, whole night kirtans. And that was reserved only for selected few devotees. Not anybody and everybody would be allowed there. All the doors and windows would be closed, locked. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would sing. And all the Vaishnavas would dance and he would also dance. And he would go into different levels of transcendental ecstasy and he would manifest transcendental symptoms. The Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani he would exhibit. And Shiva Sangan is called as the Rasasthali of Vrindavan. It is non-different from Vrindavan's Rasasthali. The same way as Radha and Krishna dance along with the gopis in Rasa Mandal, in the same way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in the midst of all the great Vaishnavas like Nityanand Prabhu, Advaita and Gadadhar and Shivas and many other Vaishnavas, selected Vaishnavas. So many Brahmanas and many other smart Brahmanas and all would come and they would batter the door in the night. They would want to enter that kirtan and they were not allowed entry. So Mahaprabhu made that place Shivasangan as the place for such kirtans. And in such occasions, Mahaprabhu would completely be lost in Krishna consciousness. It is said Mahaprabhu would exhibit three levels of consciousness. One is completely absorbed in Krishna remembrance, where he would be in another platform. He would consider himself as Srimati Radharani only. And there was sometimes a semi-state of consciousness, where he would be partially in remembrance of some other pastime, and partially he would be in external consciousness. Sometimes he would be totally in external consciousness. So, one day Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan in the house of Shivas. And the kirtan was getting intense, more and more and more intense, and all the devotees were dancing. And everyone was absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. Suddenly there was some weeping sound from inside. And Shivas ran into the inner portion of the house, and there he found all the women broken to tears, weeping and sobbing loudly, because Shivas' small son had passed away. And they could not contain their sorrow, and they were all weeping loudly. And Shivas admonished all of them. He told them, nobody should cry. If any of you want to cry, you get out of the house. Go somewhere else outside and cry. If you want to be inside the house, nobody will make any sound. They were all crying loud. They have to contain their cry inside their mouth. They could not weep. And it was Shivas' chastisement that kept them tolerate the weeping. And then Shivas again went back to the kirtan. And again the kirtan went on. Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing. And everyone was dancing. And went on almost for 7 hours or so. At one point of time, Mahaprabhu stopped kirtan. And he asked all the Vaishnavas, why am I not feeling the transcendental ecstasy today in the kirtan? There is something wrong today. And all Vaishnavas thought, maybe I am so contaminated because of my presence here. Mahaprabhu is not feeling any ecstasy. They were feeling like that. And Mahaprabhu was looking at one by one, each of them. Has anything inauspicious happened because of which I am not feeling any ecstasy here today? What is the reason? And somebody reported to Mahaprabhu that Shivas' son has passed away. Oh, really? And that happened several hours ago. 5-6 hours ago it happened. Mahaprabhu heard it, immediately stopped the kirtan and he went inside. And there, the son of Shivas was lying. And Mahaprabhu saw the dead child and all the ladies, they broke to tears and started weeping loudly when Mahaprabhu came there. And Mahaprabhu spoke to that boy. My dear child, why have you left in an inauspicious way like this? Where have you gone? Please come back. And again the soul returned back to the child's body and the boy sat. Just like we heard in Chitraketa's story. Same way here also the boy sat and started speaking. Oh my dear Lord, it is by your order that anyone leaves the body. And it is by your order that one comes back into the body. And I was going to my next destination. And every soul has to leave the body at a particular time. And my time of leaving the body has come. So I have left the body and I went to the next destination. Please give me permission. He took permission from all the people assembled there. And he left the body. So all the people there assembled, they were all amazed. And Mahaprabhu told Shrivas, my dear Shrivas, although you have lost your small son, do not worry. You have two more children, myself and Nityan Prabhu, Nimai and Nitai. We both are there for you. We will be your children for all time to come. At that time, Mahaprabhu cried tears. He said, how can I leave the company of such a devotee as Shrivas, who even at the death of his son did not want to impede my ecstasy in chanting Hare Krishna. How can I leave the company of such a devotee of mine? He said. Because for any parent, the child is the most dear. And even at the death of a child, here you find Shivas. Clearly, we find that he had no material attachment to his son. His goal was to give pleasure to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his only goal. And for that sake, he was ready to forget about the great worry that came in his life as the death of a child. If you see, if somebody passes away in our home, everything comes to a halt, practically. But here you find Shivas. And you can imagine, Shivas was also dancing in the Kirtan. Can you imagine? Not that he was standing in one corner sobbing. He was also dancing and participating in Kirtan, only for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the real rati, or the attachment that a devotee has for the Lord. Why did Lord Chaitanya say, how can I leave the company of such a devotee? Because he remembered that I have to take sannyas very soon. If I take sannyas and go, I will have to leave the company of Shivas. So Shivas was actually in one sense a householder. He had wife, he had son, he had a family. But he was far superior to any sannyasi who had detached himself from the material world. Why? Because he had attained a true detachment by developing a firm attachment for Krishna. So true detachment can be developed only by firm attachment to Krishna. There is no other alternative. Otherwise the detachment will not be a continuous detachment. One will again fall back. That is why Kunti Maharani is here praying that, my dear Krishna, let me develop such firm attachment for you. Like the Ganges which is flowing, sometimes there are logs of wood lying. So the Ganges goes in the top or the bottom of those logs. If stone is lying, it goes in the side. And the Ganges is gushing and moving very fastly, rushing towards the ocean. Similarly, let my mind always flow towards you in all circumstances. Whether they be happy circumstances or difficult circumstances or calamities. Whatever happens in my life, let me always remember you. Because only by remembering you, one can return back to the lotus feet of the Lord and enter eternal service. Krishna will never die, and we will never die, and our relationship with Krishna will never be destroyed. These three are eternal. Krishna is eternal, the soul is eternal, and the relationship is eternal. So one should act on the eternal platform, and not on the temporary bodily platform. One should give up that. That's the main sum and substance of this verse. So, two essential things we discussed today. One is the contaminations of karma, jnana, yoga, to which we may be attached. One has to sever such attachment, and one should follow the right means to attain Krishna's lotus feet by pulling out the weeds of karma, jnana, yoga and watering the devotional creeper. That was one thing we were discussing. Another thing is the attachment to relatives and friends which we have. We should spiritualize it by making them also into devotees. But even after they become devotees, still we should know there is a material component, spiritual component in such bodily relationships. We cannot deny that. We have a material connection also. So, as Kunti Maharani is praying, we should develop a very firm, overwhelming loving attachment for Krishna and absorb our mind in Krishna consciousness and not allow our mind to become consumed by material attachments. Thank you very much. Rantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.